to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Fascinating stories about encounters with star people with Artie Six Killer Clark. Dr. Clark, that's a silly question I asked. A car being dropped with people or beings in them, what kind of cars?
Well, he said they were big black cars. And you'd have to know Leland. Leland didn't own a car. He didn't know much about cars. He never really left his little cabin, his little home place there. And so he just said they were big black cars.
Yeah, I find this particular account one of the more compelling stories in the book. Why don't you give us a quick thumbnail sketch of some of the other details of this, where the automobile was let down? And I think he took you out there, and you actually saw the tracks.
I saw the circle, right. On the ground, and where nothing was growing. And I saw the tire tracks through his field, and he didn't own a car. There were no cars around. And he said that that one time, as they were going through the field, they had a flat tire. And the driver...
I love that detail. And he had to go out and fix it for him.
He went out and fixed the tire. And I asked him to describe the man or the being. And he said, well, he couldn't really tell much about him because it was dark. And he had this hat and collar pulled up. But he said he looked like he had no neck. And I found that extremely interesting, you know. And then he goes on and tells me how he had to get the people out of the beams out of the car so he could jack it up. And after he finished, they gave him 10 silver dollars. And so he took these silver dollars, and he said, I caught a ride. He said, over the state line, he said, I took them and I found a place, and I said, how much will you give me for these? And he said, I sold 9 of them, but I kept one. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled it out and he handed it to me. And I have that silver dollar, by the way.
How old was it?
It was in the early 1900s, like 1923, I think it is.
So it was an old silver dollar. And did it look tarnished and look used? Was it worn?
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, it's worn. And that was his pride and joy. But he kept saying, I wish they would come back so I could and have another flat tire. Maybe I could make some more money.
Yeah, the other detail that I found curious too was the people in the backseat seemed to be afraid of him, and they kind of huddled away, and if he would get near, they'd move away from him.
Right, and he said he talked about the women. He said they acted like they didn't know how to walk in those shoes, and I thought that was interesting too.
So, the inference here is that we have aliens walking around among us, if that's what indeed they were, if we can take this story at face value. What was his thinking about this? How many times did this occur? And what time period are we talking about?
Well, he died. It's been about 8 years now. So he said that it had been occurring for several years, that he had been seeing this happen. So, and they believed, he and his buddy believed that that's what was happening, that literally aliens were infiltrating the Earth. And he says, I want you to make sure you tell this story.
Yeah, some of our skeptics at forum.theparacast.com are really going to have a problem with this particular account of some sort of craft depositing automobiles with human-looking, short-necked aliens driving off in black automobiles. I mean, I have heard stranger stories over the years, but this one would definitely rate up there as one of the stranger accounts. It's almost like we have men and ladies in black that are being deposited in remote locations on an Indian reservation to be infiltrated into the culture. It's difficult for, I think, some people to suspend their disbelief to the extent to actually to accept this story at face value. But how well did you know Leland?
Well, I got to know him very well over the time that I first met him. Every time I would go to the reservation, I would go see him and spend time with him and cook his dinner and take him some groceries. But, you know, I heard another story that was, it wasn't like Leland's, but I was in Alaska. And I had told some people in this community that was basically a Native community that, I think it was more like 80% Native and 20% non-Native. And I had mentioned this. I went out to lunch with some people in the school district, and I mentioned it to some of them what I was doing, and this woman said, well, are you interested in stories from a white person? And I said, I'm always interested in stories. And she told me a story about being on a trip one night. She said, my friend and I came around the bend, and there was an automobile that was half stuck inside this hill. And she described the highway as one where it had been cut through, you know, mountainous roads. And this cliff just zoomed up over the highway. And here was this vehicle that was half sticking out of this mountain. And she said, we just could not believe this. And she said, so we went down the road. The first place we could find, we turned around, and then she described this craft that she saw. And she said, when we made it back to the location where this vehicle was stuck inside this mountain, she said it was gone. It had just disappeared. And she said, now that's a true story. And I don't doubt her because, you know, she had no reason to tell me a big tale. She was obviously very concerned about this event, and she was convinced that that car had mistakenly been put there by UFO.
Wow.
And that by the time they got turned around and got back to where it was, the car had been removed. So, you know, I don't know if it's that outlandish or not. You know, I mean, those are two incidents that you wouldn't expect to happen, you know, but She said, and I can introduce you to my friend who would tell you the same story. So, you know, maybe people will be skeptical, but those are two stories that I heard involving cars and UFOs.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, out of all these 900 stories and accounts that you collected, did anyone ever show you any photographs? Or we have the physical evidence that you apparently saw it, with Leland's claim, but did you ever have any other sort of physical evidence or photographs or recordings or anything to substantiate and help bolster a person's account?
The only the one thing I remember was the gun of the police officer that had been melted. I saw it. I've been criticized because I didn't take photographs of it, but, you know, that wasn't my intent. I didn't want to make people uncomfortable with cameras and running around the reservation like some obsessed person with UFOs. I mean, in order to get these stories, you have to have a certain amount of respect. You have to have a certain amount of people have to trust you.
Yeah, oh boy, I know about that.
Before we get into any further issues regarding trust, and we certainly trust Chris O'Brien, and we're finding a lot of trust in what Artie Six Killer Clark has to tell us. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we have Artie Six Killer Clark talking about encounters with star people. But one thing I wanted to ask you here, we assume these strange beings are star people. Is that therefore saying that, oh, it's E.T.? Are we assuming it's E.T. without necessarily any evidence of that?
Well, I think I would assume that if E.T. is a proper definition, that they would be one and the same, right? The one thing that was made clear to me several times was that there were different visitors coming to this planet. And they were, and there was an agreement that they would not interfere. There was a non-interference policy of such, and that there were lawbreakers. There were people that did interfere, and they were highly frowned upon by other other societies in the universe. And I was told that several times by people, that one of the reasons why we don't have a lot of interaction with star beings is that there's an understanding in the universe that, that cultures are to be left alone. But
don't you think the mere presence of so-called alien craft, UFO abductions, things like that, that's interference?
Yeah.
Well, and I think you could interpret it that way, but I don't think that a lot of the UFOs that you see, you are intended to see them. I think that's why you have these stories, these advanced encounters occurring in remote areas.
Right, accidental encounters, basically, is what
you... Accidental, right.
Well, this...
Because they're not looking. Now, they're not looking for that interaction. And it seems like there are some, from what I was told by some of my interviewees, that there are those that break that law. And
well,
that
leads me to a question.
People. Pardon?
We have a bunch of questions from Paracast listeners that they post on our forum. And
okay.
Aldo Poe is one of our newcomers to the forum, and he asked that very, very question: Are star people all from one race, or are there many different races visiting us? And basically, what I'm hearing you say is we're dealing with various races or entities, types of entities that are visiting us, and that oftentimes these events or encounters are accidental; they're not really intentional. Here's another couple of questions that I think along these same lines. Conrad Hartman's been a very active poster at forum.theparacast.com for the past year, and he asks he's real excited that you're going to be on the show, and asks a number of questions. One of them is, are there significant differences between tribes in the way they deal with UFOs and related phenomenon? Do you see correlations of how Indians try, you know, in terms of Indian tribes deal with this type of thing? Do you see correlations, or is each tribe different the way they view this material?
Well, I think one common thread that runs through all is that not to talk about it, that it's looked upon not as a common event, but not an unusual event, because there have been so many people who have witnessed such events, but they're, you know, cautioned not to talk about it. And I think part of that comes from the fact that they do not want people from the National Enquirer or people, you know, coming onto their reservation, because they like their privacy and they don't want that interference in their lives. Does that answer the question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and also that answers the next question that he had, too. He said, among people in the U.S., discussion of UFOs is often met with derision and mockery. What has been the attitude of people in the tribes, you know, regarding the acceptability of discussing the topic? And do people encounter the same stigma as in non-Indian U.S. culture? And I think you've pretty emphatically stated, yeah, that people tend to keep these stories to themselves. They're pretty much, automatically keep quiet about this stuff. They don't share these stories even amongst themselves. Well, how about...
There's something else that goes on too, and when you read the book, you'll see some incidents of that. It's very common among some of the tribes to tease each other, and they tease sometimes unmercifully, and if you remember the police officers who reported sighting a UFO, and they were referred to as the Little Green Man team. And their fellow officers just teased them unmercifully.
Right.
And they told me if we had had it to do over again, we would have never said a word, because for the rest of our lives, that's who we will be called.
Right.
And
Indians,
when our kids
Indians
grow
do
up,
tease
they'll
each other.
Still be talking about it.
Yeah, I've noticed when I've spent time on, you know, on various reservations, that Indians have a really almost a hyperactive sense of humor, and they do tend to tease each other.
Oh, they do.
Unmercifully.
And so, that in itself. And then there were some that more the younger, some of the younger generation feared that it might result in a job loss, because they were in positions of public trust. And if somebody even questioned their sanity, they might lose their job, or they might not be hired as a consultant someplace. So, you know, I think there's some of the same fears that you hear in mainstream society,
right,
of people not reporting it because they don't want to be considered a kook. And I think that explains part of the reason why they wanted to be anonymous, is they just didn't want that information out there.
Yeah, it's like many of the posters at forum.theparacast.com. They use these avatar names. They don't want to be identified because of you know, that fear of being ridiculed and singled out. Here's another question from Conrad that is a good one. Do any of the UFO sightings that you have interviewed witnesses about correlate with cryptid sightings or other anomalies? And the second part of the question is, do the topic of Thunderbirds or Skinwalkers ever come up in these stories that you've heard?
Well, not Skinwalkers, and not Thunderbirds, and not Bigfoot, but shapeshifters, yes. In fact, I heard many stories about aliens or star people who could appear and disappear at will, who appeared as lights in the beginning and then suddenly took human form.
You know, you're raising a big issue there, and I wanted to ask you some questions, because that brings up other possible questions about the origin of these beings. We have Arnie Sixkiller Clark. We're talking about encounters with star people with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
On the Paracast, we have Dr. Artie Sixkiller Clark joining us. We're talking about encounters with star people. And Artie, I wanted to ask you about these shape-changing things, beings, whatever they are. Wouldn't that possibly indicate something else is at play here other than E.T., maybe some other kind of indigenous or terrestrial phenomenon?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm the people I interviewed felt they were star people with this ability to just disappear when they wanted to sometimes appear as balls of light and then suddenly become take a human form right in front of their eyes. So, you know, whether it's another, I mean, and all of them said this in conjunction with a craft sighting. It wasn't that it was a ball of light and took a human form and there was nothing in the sky or nothing nearby. All of it involves some kind of a sighting of a craft.
Okay, let me ask you, though. Did these beings, when they appear to be human, interact with anyone and say, yes, we're from the stars, so to speak?
Well, in the one case, you remember in the book, the story that took place before Roswell, where there was a crash?
Would you explain this to our listeners? They haven't read the book, and they'd like to know.
Well, there was an elder that told me a story about back when he was a young boy. I think he was around 10 years old, that he always spent the summers on his grandfather's ranch. And when school was out, that was just his parents dropped him there, and that's where he stayed. And on this one occasion, he arrived on his grandfather's ranch, and there was a crashed UFO. And it had crashed into a butte and was just partially outside the butte. It hit with such force that it went inside the butte, but part of it was outside the butte. And it was at a time when the government was building a lot of dams and different things around the country. And it just happened to be that on this particular place, there was a dam being built. And his grandfather is forced to leave his property. Well, first of all, I should say that his grandfather talked about these alien beings from the stars who came and 17 of them, I think it was, survived. He didn't know if any others were there, but there were 18 seats, I believe, on the craft. But 17 of them, and they lived there. But when he first encountered them and would go there, they would disappear at will. And afterwards, when they realized he meant them no harm, he had an interaction with them. And they were rescued. They stayed there a few months until a craft came back and rescued them.
But did they say where they came from?
Well, he said that he went, after he was older, that he went to his science teacher, and what he said is they came from Pleiades.
That's what he said. Is that what they told him?
Well, that's what they told the grandfather. They told the grandfather where they pointed to the place in the sky. So he goes to his teacher and says, "What is this place?" And the teacher told him it was Pleiades.
Interesting, because I've heard that correlation cross-tribally of the Pleiades being singled out as a potential location for these beings. Now, I have a couple of follow-up questions on this. One is, do we have an approximate time period? Was this the 30s, the 20s? What decade are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about
you said
the
before
early 40s.
Roswell.
Yeah. Yeah, it was before Roswell in the early 40s.
In the early 40s. Okay, my other question is, what happened to the ship that was partially embedded in the butte?
Well, that's the interesting thing, because he said that when the government arrived, they forced his grandfather off his ranch and made him go live in this motel room. And he stayed with his grandfather at the time, and his grandfather was just beside himself over what was going on. And, of course, when they came back, they didn't even recognize the place. And he was convinced that the military had found it and had removed it. And I said, how in the world could somebody remove a UFO and nobody know it? He said, well, people used to stand along the highway and watch these, around on the road, watching these huge machines come and go because they had never seen anything like it. He said, you've got to realize this happened at a time when there were very few vehicles on the reservation. And he said that people would literally stand along the road and watch these huge machines go by. And he said, you could have moved anything. And, of course, he didn't live anywhere near any neighbors. The closest neighbor he had moved away. And the grandfather seemed to take a lot of pride in the fact that he could take care of these starmen, or, you know, secret them away from the world and nobody could interfere with it, you know.
Able to give us a state where this happened? Is this New Mexico?
Was it? If I did, it would be so easy to find it.
Well, I'm sure you understand my eagerness to kind of try to pinpoint this location a little bit. You can't blame me. I mean, this is 17 star
that.
People coming from a crash saucer, the government recovering
it.
It's hard for me not to ask about probing questions, Artie, as I'm sure you can understand.
I know that, but I just am. If I told you, it would just.
Could you tell me privately? Not on the air. Could I talk to you? And could you verify some of the locations of some of these cases if I promised I would not publicize this?
I promise the people.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to break that.
Okay.
Promise.
When an investigator.
You know, what does a person have except their word? You know, really.
Right.
What really matters in this world except your word?
Right. And oftentimes when I am asked to, you know, honor a person's request for anonymity, one of my follow-up questions is, well, would you mind if I shared this story with a fellow investigator off the record in private? And I give them that option. This might be a little something that you might consider in the future.
When I collected these stories, occasionally I would think, well, maybe I'll write a book. But then you know, I pretty much had just set them aside and just wasn't going to do anything with them. And then was encouraged to write the book. So I never even thought about asking those kind of questions.
Right.
Because I was just collecting these stories. And now, in hindsight, I probably should have done a lot of things that I didn't do. But, you know, as... I guess I looked at things differently as a social scientist.
You're actually, we're talking about the folklore here, really. We're not talking about science. We're not talking about points of data, verifying dates, times, accurate descriptions, looking for physical evidence, like myself and other investigators would do. It reminds me of Tom Dongo here in the Sedona area, who's been collecting stories for 30 years, many of them actually from the Navajo Reservation. He's not interested in the least to get a date, a time, and a lot of accurate sort of data points. But I'm gonna kind of cool our jets here about some of these accounts and get a sense from you. If you've really... 900, interviews, you're going to start to see some correlations between tribal thinking in terms of star people. Do you see a consistent kind of a body of thinking or a sense of similarities between different tribes, traditional knowledge concerning star people? The Pleiades, I know, and Orion.
This is a place where we have to kind of sort of break it. We're talking to Artie Sixkiller Clark. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there, I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the ultimate enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the ultimate enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs, and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health? Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Chris was in the midst of asking a very involved question of our guest this week, Artie Sixkiller Clark, author of Encounters with Star People. Chris, why don't you ask part two of the question, then we'll get Artie's answer.
Yeah, basically what I'm shooting for is I'm looking for consistency between tribal traditions concerning star people. Do you see correlations? Do you see similarities? Is there a thread of consistency that runs through from tribe to tribe relating to star knowledge and star people?
Well, if there is a consistency, it is that a majority of the people I interviewed came from tribes that believe that the star people existed and that they frequented the planet Earth from the beginning of time. That is the one commonality. On the other hand, you will go and you will find other tribes that have absolutely no cosmic connection, either in their legends, their stories, or any knowledge of speaking of star people or the ancients or anything like that. So it's hard to generalize among the tribes of generalities, because their cultures are so distinct, their legends are unique, and the stories they tell can be very different. But as a rule, I would say that the majority of the people that I talked to came from tribes that believed that the star people existed.
Question from Conrad Hartman, and he wonders, how far east has your work with American Indian tribes taken you? Do you have any stories, for instance, from the Delaware Nation or affiliated tribes, maybe the Six Nations tribes, Iroquois, the Mohawk, and tribes from the East Coast?
Well, obviously, some of my stories in the book do come from the East and the Midwest. But I have never talked with any of the northeastern tribes, with the exception of a couple Iroquois. Other than that, no. You know, my work at Montana State University didn't take me to those places.
Right.
My stories came from the reservations and the places that I visited, or if I met somebody at a conference that over the years became, trusted me enough to tell a story. But other than that, no.
Well, how about your own experiences? I remember in the book that you had a sighting of an object at the funeral of one of your interview subjects. How about your own UFO-type sighting experiences? Do you want to tell us about those?
Well, I'd really like to focus on the book, but I can tell you that I have had more than one experience.
So have I, actually.
Pardon?
So have I. I've had quite a number, actually, over the years. Well, here's an interesting question from one of our forum posters, Mastastic, who's been a poster since July of last year. Is there any way to separate good and evil aliens that those interviewed describe? It seems that the traditional gray aliens with the large eyes, the frail appearance, and the skinny bodies and large heads were involved in the more nefarious abduction accounts and interactions, whereas the more human-appearing aliens were closer to kind of an American Indian belief in ancestors from the stars. Do you see any sort of separation between different types of entities and how they were perceived in either positive or negative way by your interview subjects?
Well, you know, there were a couple of instances. I reported stories in the book of the the people describing them almost like insects. And those experiences were not positive experiences. They were forcibly taken onto a spacecraft. They were very aware of what was happening to them. And that they were being forcibly taken by these beings. And that was not a positive experience for them. And so there was a distinction, and their description of them. Now, one of the interesting things I found is that they didn't talk about them having great big large eyes. They talked about them wearing goggles. And I thought that was interesting because maybe that's what they do wear. Maybe those big eyes are nothing more than some kind of goggles to protect their eyes or something. I don't know. But I found that interesting because, I've heard the stories about, you know, the aliens with the big eyes and of course you see it in television and, you know, everywhere you go in pop culture.
Oh boy, do we. A constant source of irritation here at the Paracast, I might add.
Right, bad. But, you know, one of the things that I encountered where they were described, I said, well, what did their eyes, you know, how describe their eyes? And they said, well, we can't because they were wearing these black goggles. So I thought that was interesting, that they didn't see them as having these big oval eyes. They saw them as wearing goggles.
Well, here's a question that I wanted to ask you myself, and that is, out of all these interviews that you did, most of them obviously were just average, everyday American Indian folk. Did you ever interview somebody that was the head of a medicine society or a chief or some sort of political figure or someone with high political standing or social standing within a tribe?
Well, several of the people I interviewed had high social standing within the tribe or leadership in the tribe. Whether they were, I stayed away from interviews with what we call the holy men or the medicine men, unless they just wanted to talk. My work took me to places where I met the leaders of the community, both in the school and in tribal government. And so the people I interviewed were often head of programs or that were tribal programs or leaders of in the community. And so, yes, it just wasn't, you know, somebody that I picked up off the street. These were reliable, respectable individuals. But they also, as I point out in my book, some of them had never used a cell phone, had never watched television or owned anything like that, whereas others had PhDs. So it ran the full gamut of people with different experiences and different backgrounds.
As many investigators and researchers out there will attest to, these types of experiences tend to happen across the board in a culture. No single group is more susceptible or except maybe divorced middle-aged housewives and abductions. That was a joke. I have an interesting question from somebody that just signed up here this month on the forum at theparacast.com. It says, "Hello, I'm a newbie to both you, your site, and your show. And with that said, I'm currently reading Dr. Clark's book. Although new to your show, star people and topics of this nature have been a lifelong interest of mine." And their question to you is, in the book, Chapter 21, Two Women Speak Their Minds, Tally, one of the witnesses, informs you, quote, "I was told that there were four violent species in the universe. Humans were one of them," unquote. Did you ever hear of who the other three violent species were? And they go on to say,
she never explained, and I asked her that. And she looked at me and she said, "With all these interviews you're doing, you should be able to figure that one out for yourself." So I don't know.
Thanks.
You know, I never got an answer from her.
Oh man. Well, this person, Evan Spencer, is very loves your book and says, "For those of you who have yet to read this book, I'm referring to a rather charming encounter, including one of the chapters, and they highly recommend anyone interested in furthering their perspective on ETs and visitations to read your book." And they say that your the American Indian outlook pertaining to the subject matter is very rich in detail and well worth your time. I agree. There's some fascinating accounts in here. But again, you know, you're sort of handcuffed here a little bit in terms of the real skeptical side of our audience. We do pride ourselves in being healthily skeptical in dealing with these subjects, and at times we tend to get a little bit of flack from people that want us to suspend our disbelief completely, but
we have to suspend right now.
I knew you were going to do that, Gene.
With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Extendivite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendo.